What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
The following program is rated TV-MA-LSV. It contains strong language, sexual situations, violence, and nudity. It is intended only for mature audiences.
Oh, you're going back to Bewitched. Bewitched jingle.
Oh, it's the hair.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Hi, Scout.
Hi, babe. How are you? I know there's hecticness going on over there.
Better.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes. Ain't that the truth? Yes, my kids have been fucking sick all since last Friday.
Dude.
And then, of course, David started a job on Monday. So it's like of all the times for like the planets to not be aligned. So it's been fine. I mean, it's just all day by myself every day with two sick kids has been a little bit challenging because I've got one with a fever and that can't eat. That's very, very, very needy. And like fever, like 103, like crazy fevers. And then the other one that's running around like an asshole, but he is like shitting everywhere. It's like, I mean, at least it's in the toilet, but like, you know, like it literally hasn't stopped. I'm like, how is this even happening? I don't understand.
Oh my God. Is anybody like sick at the school? Like, can you pinpoint what happens, you know?
Yeah, it's called preschool and kindergarten. I mean, I remember when the kids first started going to daycare at like 18 months and they were in the doctor every 2 or 3 weeks.
No.
And the doctor was like, this is totally normal. This builds their immune system. So it's okay. It's fine. This is good. This is good for them. As long as, you know, their fevers are fighting it off and as long as they come out of it, then it's okay. It's like, oh, I can't. I have such anxiety because my goddaughter, when she was about, maybe she was like 2, she had a seizure.
What?
You can have a seizure from a high fever.
Yeah, I know that.
And it happened to her. Her mom took her temperature and it was normal. And then she went to work and the babysitter was with her and she had the seizure with the babysitter because the thermometer was broken. She got to the hospital. She had a major seizure. Like her babysitter drove her to the hospital emergency room. When I got there, like half an hour later, she still wasn't talking. Her eyes were still back in her head. She was shaking. I mean, it was like the scariest thing I'd ever seen. So I have such PTSD from seeing that happen. I didn't even know that was a thing. So anytime Carter gets a fever and he always runs a high fever, I just stress out. It's just such triggers for me. And then all I want to do right now is, because my anxiety is so high, is like clean my house and organize and do things to keep myself busy because I can't sit and think about it. But yet I need to be with him and lay with him and hug him and hold him. And he's like, mommy, play with me. Mommy, lay with me. Mommy, kiss me, hug me, feed me, love me. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to get sick, but I need to take care of my kid. I want to hold him. You know, and then my anxiety is like so through the roof and I'm not sleeping at night because I literally sleep in bed with him.
Yeah.
And I like feel him all night because I need to make sure that his fever doesn't go up because I think he's going to have a seizure. And I live in buttfuck nowhere. So it's like,
yeah,
by
it's
the
so
time
long.
I get them to like, you know, I can't just like run my kid to the emergency room. Like I need to call an ambulance. They will get here faster to like if it was a real emergency to take care of him than me doing that. But anyway, went to the doctor yesterday morning and tested him for everything under the sun. And I'm just, because I'm leaving tomorrow to come see your ass, you know?
I know. blame me. So moral of the story is it's Scout's fault.
It's all your
fucking Scout's fault.
No, that sounds like your own shit right there.
Oh my God. Is it my fault?
See, this is what I said.
No, but you're definitely traumatizing me into like not want to have a child anymore.
No,
now I'm like, wait a minute. I don't know. I'm still like Carter. Like this is actually like a fight that
wire plugged in? Do you have are you hardwired in? Okay,
because you're hardwired already. Really?
Damn, your fucking neighbor playing his video games.
I'm literally in. I'm in.
That's what he said.
I'm slid in.
Are you slid in?
I mean, I can hear you. I haven't like you haven't paused or froze or anything.
Okay, that's
y'all.
Good. That's
I swear
I have
to
amazing
God,
internet over here.
I know. This is why when you come in here and we record, we're not doing it at my house, which is insane. Because I did this whole thing.
Yeah, we can't.
For
do
when
it
you
house.
Come into town,
but I don't know. It worked so well the last time with that attachment.
There was nothing. It's in, it's plugged in. Hopefully we'll be okay.
Yes.
But no, I used to have, I'm like Carter. It's like when I'm sick, I want somebody right next to me at all times.
Oh my God. I don't want anyone near me.
No, I'm like,
I don't want to be touched. I don't want to be rubbed. I don't want to be fucking loved on. I just want you to bring me soup and leave me the fuck alone and let me sleep and sweat it out and watch The Real Housewives and call it a day.
But it was kind of nice, though, when I did have COVID and Tom didn't and we were in separate rooms for like 8 days. I kind of got used to being like, oh, this is what it's like being by yourself and being sick and being in a bed and him coming in and just giving you shit and then leaving. I was like, oh. This was nice.
So what would you have him do if he could come in when he comes and takes care of you? Like, do you want him to rub you or like do you want to be touched when you're sick or would you just need him to like sit by you?
Yeah, sit by me, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, right? You know, like something like just to know that someone's there and I'm not going to die.
Oh, okay, got it. Oh my God, we're so different. I'm like, I need to be left alone.
Yeah, but I'm like Carter, so I get Carter. I get what he's going through right now.
The baby. He's like, you've been on 5 timeouts this morning.
Oh no. With what? Doing what? Like pushing Carter or doing something?
He's got to do a science project, and I'm trying to give them something to do so I could do this, and they'd leave me the fuck alone. And so there's like, they both have to do something where they have to come up with 100 things because it's 100 days of school, and they have to do like a display of something that they find themselves that is 100 things, and they have got to like make something to put on the wall of the school hallways. So I was like, cool. So I got a big jug of change, and I said, Jagger, I want you to take out all of the pennies, separate all of the pennies, and we'll count them to 100, which should take about 2 hours. So that would buy me at least enough time to get ready for the show. And then Carter, he's doing crystals. So he's separating his giant box of crystals, which there's like 500 of them, into colors. So each bag, there's like jade, there's amethyst, there's onyx, there's moonstone. So you know what I mean? So
yeah.
So I'm giving, but then Jagger wanted to do the crystals, but then they couldn't get it out of the same bowl. And then Jagger was pissed because he wanted my mom to do the pennies with him. And then he was yelling at me that he always says the same thing, that he's going to cut me up and throw me in the trash.
Where the fuck did that come from?
Fucking YouTube or some shit. I don't know. I'm gonna put you in the trash. You're gonna go in the trash, mommy. And I'm like, whatever. I'll go. Fine. That would be a vacation for me after this week.
I'd be like, imagine yourself living one day without me, Carter, if you put me in the fucking trash can. Imagine.
Oh, that's
one
not
day.
Carter. That's Jagger. Carter
Jagger.
Would never say that to me. Carter would be like, no, I would die without you, mommy.
Oh my God. That's crazy.
I keep looking, you know, when they come home from school, I have to take out their shit out of their backpack and their folders. And it's so cute because every time I take like, you know, papers out of Carter's folder from like worksheets at school, like adding or subtracting or words or, you know, which one's different, like that kind of thing. He'll write like mom with hearts all around the sides of the page.
Cute.
And then like he'll draw a picture of like him and then mommy. Like he's very like,
oh, he loves you, man.
He loves me.
I love that. Oh,
and then
my God.
Jagger did ask if he could marry me yesterday. And then when I told him we were passing by the cemetery going to the doctor, and he doesn't quite understand the difference between a cemetery and where you get married. Because he knows
yeah, they're
husbands
both dead
and wives.
End.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe. Because he knows like husbands and wives are together.
Okay.
At a cemetery, so because they have the same names, so it's very confusing for him how what that means to be married and where you do that, because he's never like been to a wedding before, so he doesn't like get it, you know. And then so he doesn't know the difference between the cemetery and a church basically yet.
Oh my god, that's kind of really fucking cute. That's really cute.
Speaking of weddings, how's your wedding going? You haven't had a chance to get up there. Are you going to go before you leave for Thailand?
No, I'm going to go after. Well, I mean, they had that big disaster, and I also don't, you know, I want to go visit the town, and they're still kind of recovering. Like, the road, you know, slipped away, and like flooding and all that stuff happened. Right. So, but we did find possibly a photographer and a videographer,
good,
which I'm really excited about. I think they're definitely like half the price. Like, I guess he would be in one, so it'd be like one combo. So it would be like about like $7,000, which is not bad, but it's better than 15.
So it's one person doing both?
No, so he has a crew with him.
Oh, good.
But the only thing is, like, he does do Vogue and stuff, and like his stuff is really beautiful. Like, I know, like, getting ready and all the photos of the bridesmaids are going to be fucking amazing and cute and beautiful. My only thing is, I watched his behind the scenes stuff, and he's very like, he'll help guide you to the position that he wants. And I don't know if I want a director on my wedding day.
You know, so I kind of want to tell him, just tell him.
I kind of want to, but you know me, I'm nice.
People may need that.
I'm nice.
Well, I'm not nice. So I'm going to
be like, I know where to just put my leg. Just, can you take some photos while I do my thing? Like, don't guide me, please.
So you just want to be in the moment and allow him and hope that he captures the authenticity of the moments that you're in.
Obviously, I want like some setup, but like not the entire time. I don't want to feel like I'm on set.
Well,
like that day.
But they're going to have to plan the you know.
That's fine. It's just, I just saw him and it's like, your hand here, your hand there. And I'm just like, I'd rather it be, but it's beautiful. It is really gorgeous. And I really liked him. He was actually in Thailand when we FaceTimed with him.
Nice.
And he's really cool. He's got a cool vibe.
Has he done weddings for actresses? Like, does he know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Still feels like
he's done for models.
Them?
Like he's fucking done weddings in like Italy, like in Greece.
Oh,
like he's
so
gone.
Don't worry about it.
All
just
over.
Trust him. Just
yeah.
Trust him.
So I feel like that. But then there's this other photographer where he has like the aerial like shot, like, which I love, because that's why I wanted to get there or do our wedding there, because it's like I love nature and like how big it is. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to make sure if I can combine both. So I just have to take a couple more calls with these two just to kind of figure out which one
right,
I want.
It's your vibe.
Yeah. If it's like I want to go with this one guy who can provide everything, or if I want to go with that guy for the video and then someone else for the photo and hope that they get along.
Well, they'll be doing different things anyway.
Pray to God that they get along. Yeah. But actually, this is interesting, y'all, because I think I tell you what my food is going to be?
Your pizza?
Yes. So it's going to be a pizza truck and then like salads, and then the girls got charcuterie. There's also this other truck that I found in Santa Cruz. And I'm wondering, I'm like, maybe I should do two trucks. And it's all like, because I'm getting married on Cinco de Mayo. And it's all like fucking tacos and like fucking, you know. So I'm like, maybe I should have both pizza and then like the tacos and then our beer. But three of our things will be on trucks, so there'll be like three trucks, and I don't know if there's enough room. Yeah, so I'll have to figure it out. I need to go visit the place in March before I commit to another food truck coming in.
You have time, right?
Yeah, just to kind of see what this space looks like and all of that. But there's one thing that I have been doing, which is really crazy, and I think it's because I haven't seen my my wedding dress, is I can't stop looking at wedding dresses.
Oh, God.
Did you have that?
I still look at wedding dresses.
What the fuck?
Still, I'm married for almost 10 years, and I still look at wedding dresses.
What in the fuck?
When I go back to mine, I still love it.
See, mine didn't fit me yet.
Well, just wait. Don't.
I know.
You're going to keep looking. And you know what, Scout? You may go get your dress and be like, this doesn't work for me. I mean, it wasn't, thank God it's not $10,000. You know what
I'm
I mean?
I'm so worried.
It was half of what your budget was.
Yeah.
So God forbid that happens. Don't worry about it. You'll figure it out. You could fucking turn around and sell that shit like that.
Yeah.
In a size small, like that someone that's, I mean, yeah. I would not worry about it.
I feel like I'm going to absolutely love it, but there's so much that needs to be done with it. Like I would really love your mom to detail some of the stuff on there. Yeah. So I'm just like, I want to see it sooner than later. And the fact that it just like makes me nervous that you see your dress like 4 months before, I'm like, how is that possible?
Dude, I went down to Miami where I got my dress about 2 months before. Mine was custom. So I was like, I want this top with this thing and da 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 and this whole thing. I picked out the fabric and the lace. I had no idea what the dress was going to look like.
No.
Showed up and it was like rough, you know, rough, whatever. And it did not work. My design did not work.
Oh my God.
Because I wanted like, it was sweetheart neck, but it had like, I wanted like some kind of off the shoulder. So just had like the decollete was all open and pretty. I didn't just want a strapless dress. But remember when you tried on that dress at the store and you couldn't lift your arms and you were like, yeah, no, I need to dance.
Yeah.
Because I had already spent my budget on my dress. I couldn't get another dress. So when I tried it on, I couldn't lift my arms. So I was like, you have to take it off. You literally have to cut it off. And I was like, well, fuck, now I have just a very basic like strapless dress. This is not what I had envisioned in my mind. So I was stressed out. And the next time that I saw my dress when it was strapless was when I was taking it to Hawaii.
Oh,
so
is there any way like, and I don't know why I feel like I have to, yeah, is now I don't know why I have to lie, but I feel like I want to call them and go, actually, my wedding's been pushed up. It's going to be February actually. So,
oh my God.
You know, I'm just like, why can't, because we also need to do the boning in there. I don't want to like go try it on the size of it.
That'll just take them like a week.
Okay, I'm so scared. It's insane. It's so funny, while I was telling the story, I didn't notice that I literally was checking myself because I posted on our Talk Scary to Me, and I posted about a swapping.
Yes.
You know? And then I said, think this would end well. Who would last longer with the other partners? And a lot of people,
I would last longer with Tom.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's what they said. Oh, yeah. That's what they said. But someone wrote something. I listened to every episode of their podcast, and I really appreciate all the adorable stories regarding David and Tom. I personally think that David would have a harder time with Scout than Tom with Danielle. I think David would tap out. I can't handle all this positive hyper energy from Scout. How can someone be the living embodiment of a sugar pixie stick? Tom and Danielle would probably vibe well. In all seriousness, no, it would be a nice, fun idea. But it kind of hurt my feelings for a second.
Oh no!
I've been checking myself. It's so weird how words get in your head. But they do, because
when we just started the podcast, when I said something to you about Jack, about, well, I've got to come see you tomorrow, and then you were like, it's all my fault. Like,
that was a joke. But no, but it's so crazy. I think it's, I don't know what it is, but it is something that, I mean, and it's so weird, because like a lot of things like don't bother me, and it doesn't bother me, but it just definitely goes, oh fuck, am I really hyper and like really like a lot? And I was like, wow.
No, I mean, sometimes I think, no, you're like a little firecracker, but I don't see you as being like too much to handle. But I also know like your age. You know, like,
but I'm 34 years old.
No, of course. But like Tom and I are older. You know,
I don't even
like,
think I'm going to be that wing when I'm your guys' age. I really don't. Like, I just am like a young kid at heart. Like, I don't think that's ever going to go away.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think
your energy level will shift, not your enthusiasm for life. I think it's your energy level that David would be like, oh, my God. I can only do one thing at a time. But David moves at a snail's pace. You understand? Like, he's way more serious and like chill and like, but when I get giddy and goofy, he loves it. But maybe that's just because I'm not giddy and goofy around him a lot. But like when we get into those places, because I'm kind of just like even. So, and so is he, if not a little more mellow than me. So I think that, I think you just have a lot of energy. If he was like, you know, I mean, probably when I met him, he would have been all about your energy. Like, because when I was, you know, 12 years ago, even for me, I was fucking running around everywhere, bouncing off the walls. I mean,
yeah.
And he was having a hard time keeping up with me then. So now cut to 10 years later. So I think that
it's so funny because I don't really have like that much energy. It's only like when I'm in new situations with new people is when I'm like kind of stoked.
It's like, your spirit. It's
yeah,
your spirit.
It's like when I'm at cons or whatever, like the first day, I'm pretty cheery. Yeah. But then I calm down. Like I do crash. This is why I don't drink coffee. Could you imagine me on fucking coffee? I'd be like, it's like literally my body is like coffee just without it. It's like I'm up here and then I crash.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty consistent. It's like it's so funny because like even when I'm on here with you, it's like I haven't talked to you in a while. So then I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, let's talk, you know?
Of course. But if we had so just fun, like
if we were
we do...
if we were with each other every day.
Oh, yeah.
You would probably see how lazy I am. You do way more than me on a daily basis. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah, I know I do. There's no doubt
fuck
there.
No.
Trust me.
Fuck
I'm like, I can't wait till this bitch has kids.
Uh-uh.
And you see the amount. You know, I have
I'm
already
zen.
Done so much today. Your head would spin. Like,
oh, yeah. No.
I don't stop from the moment I wake up. But listen, I haven't worked out in 3 years. The only way that like I think I stay somewhat fucking normal is because my ass doesn't hit the couch from the moment I wake up until the moment I go to sleep. Unless it's for that nap that I take in the middle of the day, because if I didn't take a nap, I'd be in bed by 7:30 every night.
You are a napper.
Tired.
You do naps.
Oh, have to.
I love it because I like to nap too. So whenever I'm at your house, I'm like, oh my God, it's napping time. Okay, let's go. I was like, yeah, I can't get up at 6 a.m. and go take fucking kids to school and be fine to record a podcast. Like I get up at 9 o'clock.
Answer all your emails and do the dishes go to the grocery store and do three loads of laundry and organize your closet and hang all the kids fucking clothes up and shit up and change shit underwear that I've changed twice today. I mean, it's like it literally, and I'm packing for tomorrow and trying to get all the stuff for the show and like do, you know, watching the movies for our guests that we have on next week and like all of these things. And I haven't slept in my bed in a week. I've been on the couch. I've been in Carter's bed. I've been in the bunk bed. I've been on the floor in a sleeping bag. My body is killing me. I'm pretty sure I'm getting my period. I'm fucking cranky. I want to fuck my husband and I need to sleep and shop. So I booked an Olympic spa.
Oh, yay!
So I'm going to go get my shit rubbed and scrubbed.
Wait,
and
what are you going?
I'm going, what day? Sunday, I think.
Oh, hilarious. I booked mine for Sunday, too.
You did? What time?
But I just got laser tattoo removal, and
oh,
it hasn't healed yet.
Oh, yeah,
and so
no,
I was like,
can't.
Fuck, I can't go.
No, you can't.
Yeah. But I need
Damn
to go.
Girl, how many sessions is that
Bro,
tattoo removal
let me
be?
Tell you about tattoo removal. I kind of want to show it right now just so y'all know what fucking pain this is. Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm going to show it. Patreoners, if you... This is going to be awful. It's so bruised up right now. Do you see the
Ow.
Red? Yeah.
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology, now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with a city on edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorindi returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Dawn Reeve, who has been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the South Side Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare, features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare, on Prime Video, now streaming.
What was it that you're covering?
I'm trying to get rid of this lantern. This fucking lantern. This massive lantern I got on my side.
Why do I not remember that you getting a lantern? Was it covering up something else?
No. I got this lantern on a whim. because my first boyfriend, Andy Biersack, cheated on me with this girl that was covered in tattoos. And so in
so
my
you
fucking
chose a lantern?
My twisted, well, I collect lanterns at the time. Oh. So, and it was kind of our thing. And anyways, so in my twisted mind, I was like, I need to be covered in more tattoos for him to love me. Fucking bullshit shit. Young stuff. So I went and got this massive tattoo on my side. And now I just like, I'm like, I would like to see my side again. Like, I just don't want it.
So,
but it's coming up pretty easy.
When it's gone, is it going to look smooth or is it always going to be a little like white or discolored?
No, I think this one's coming up really nicely. So I think this one pretty much will be completely gone, except maybe there might like be like some like something, like it might look like a little mole or something. But yeah, the plan is to it can be completely gone.
So now do you understand why I have no tattoos that I can visibly see without a mirror?
Yeah.
They're all in my back and my backside. Yeah. Because if I looked at them, I would be removing them all the time.
What about your fucking side?
I don't ever see it. Unless
really?
I'm in a bathing
your
suit.
Ass? Oh,
no,
okay.
I'm always wearing leggings or clothes. Like, there's nothing on my skin that I, like, look at. It's my ass. I'm not looking at my ass cheek unless I'm in a mirror, you know? And then I'm like, ugh. And part of me is like, ooh, I want to get the other side of my butt covered. I don't know why. I just, like, I kind of want, like, a whole big back piece like... Under my ass my entire back. I don't know. I kind of want my entire back.
I mean, if I
done.
Wasn't an actor, I would be covered in tattoos probably is what I would want to look like.
But what? You mean your whole, like from,
like,
from
like yeah, my arms
too.
Would be completely tatted.
Yeah,
and
me too.
So would my back. Like, you know, and this is like always a pain in the ass, like to cover up. And so that's like also another thing. I'm like, I might just get it like gone. Just gone.
That's why I have them only like if I have to be a mom or someone that wouldn't have them, I can still wear clothes where you don't ever have to see it. But, you know,
at some point,
I play the bad girl anyway. Yeah. So you're just,
I was doing that. But then at some point I just didn't care anymore. And I was like, you know what? I'm actually going to get a tattoo where I want to fucking get it. I was like, if Johnny Depp can have a tattoos. And they can cover them up. Why the fuck can't Scout Compton?
Listen, when I did Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and I went for my fitting, I didn't know, you know, I didn't really know exactly what Quentin was going to have me do, but I knew I was going for a fitting and I didn't even know, like, I didn't have a character name at the time or anything because I had no script. So I just showed up and I was obviously very, 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 very pregnant at the time, which is very odd to be in a fitting with someone and you're like, okay, how am I going to look natural? Like, I didn't have a bra on, you know? I mean, I had, like, a baggy t-shirt, and I was hoping for, like, some kind of cute, like, triangle top, like, 70s pregnant shirt, you know? So I look kind of cute. But because I have tattoos, I had to be in a t-shirt. Because she was like, Quentin will not deal with this. Like, he will not be waiting. He was like, no, I will not be waiting on anyone's tattoos to be covered because Brad Pitt apparently has a ton of tattoos and the time that it would take for them to cover his, Quentin was over it. And they had already been filming for like 3 or 4, you know, 3 months or something at the time of the time I came into it. So she was like, I just can't put you in anything cute. She had all these dresses and like, sort of like Three's Company, like, you know, like moo kind of cute things. And here I am going into it being like, I'll be fucking naked. Like, I'll be naked and pregnant. Wouldn't that be amazing? So I had this, these gross jean shorts that I had to like keep unbuttoned. And I had like the pregnancy, like, elastic strap, like over, like where they sewed it over the button to keep the shorts up because I couldn't button them. And then I had this big, disgusting, giant t-shirt on with no bra. And so I couldn't be cute. But that was the first time that I really felt like, I didn't know that like tattoos were going to be an issue.
How did you get that again? Did you ever say that?
I don't think so. I don't know if we've talked about it.
I want to know that. That's fucking badass. That's one of the directors that I really, really want to work with.
God, I love him so
much. And I
want to
hear all the stories.
Well, I don't know if I told you exactly how I met him and like kind of what all that, what that entailed. So this might be kind of a long story.
Let's go.
We have time. So, because we don't really, we talk a lot about sex, but not a lot about like the behind the scenes or like, you know, all of these stories. So here's what happened. So I was invited to Eli Roth's birthday party. I've known Eli through mutual friends for many, 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 many years.
Do you know that Eli wouldn't hire me for some movie because he said I had too much experience?
Really?
I was like, wait, what?
So that just means he doesn't have the money, or doesn't want to pay you the money, or doesn't want to be, wants to look at you, wants to create the next big thing.
I'm only at 10 a.m.
What time is it there?
It's 12.
12.
Continue.
That's amazing. I think I need one of those. Mm-hmm. So for those of you listening, she's drinking a giant bottle that has, is that a gallon?
Yeah, this is what you're supposed to drink for the whole day.
A day. And it shows what time each time of the day she needs to be finished with certain water by. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Mm. It's so much
how that
work.
Works for you. So anyways, I've known Eli from before he was directing, when he was doing these crazy claymation vegetable short films, literally. And, so he was always a huge horror geek, and we connected, and he even dated like one of my roommate's friends, and like I've just spent many like parties and times with Eli. So I went to his party. He was at his house, and Quentin was there, and I mean everybody
cool.
was there. There was like probably like 200 people there, 300 people there. It was at his house outside, like all catered, beautiful, blah blah blah. His brother Gabe was there, like taking pictures, and I was like, oh, fuck. You know, I went with my friend Jennifer Bean at the time, Blanc Bean at the time. And I was all cute. I had like my dress and my purse and my new boots and like my phone and my camera, like, you know, whatever. And I was talking to Edgar Wright, who's another very big horror director who I adore, outside about something by the pool. And then Quentin came up and we chatted for a minute. And then he was like, oh, this isn't a party until Danielle Harris goes in the pool. And he pushed me, like as a joke, pushed me from like behind, but I was standing on the edge, like by the deep end, smoking and drinking, whatever. And I just lost my footing and I
Fuck
fell
yeah.
in the pool, in the deep end, underwater. And everybody was standing around watching. And
you
like,
know how to swim, right?
I do, thank God.
Good.
I went under the water with my big like Gucci hobo bag. And I remember being like, it was the only thing that I had ever bought for myself that wasn't like resale. You know what
oh,
I mean? It was like,
man.
Oh my God. I know that sounds bougie to be like, oh, this thing. But it was like I had, you know, didn't ever get myself anything. And I was so proud that like I wanted to buy this pretty thing and, you know, whatever, ended up underwater. So he was like, oh, my God, I didn't mean for you to go in the pool. Oh, my God. Like freaking out. And there's all these pictures. And I got to see if Gabe Roth has them because I know he took a ton
yeah.
of pictures of us in the water. And everybody was like clapping and laughing. And I was mortified. And because what am I going to do? So Quentin went to put his hand in to take me out of the pool to help
you
me
you pulled
out,
him in.
And
please.
I pulled him in the pool.
Fuck yeah, you did. Yeah, that's
and
my girl.
And it was he and I swimming and doing like water ballet and like, you know, like playing around. And it was just
How
crazy.
Epic.
It was fucking epic. So I was like, if anyone, and I said to him, if anyone was going to throw me in the pool, I'm glad it was you because I'd have been pissed if it had been anybody else. Like
yeah.
you kind of get away with it because, you know, you're fucking Quentin Tarantino and I could tell the story forever, but this is crazy. And he was like, oh my God, you can't believe you went in the pool. I didn't. But he's like more than twice my size. You know, he's
yeah.
huge.
Yeah.
So I ended up going upstairs to Eli's room and like borrowing, you know, like a button down shirt and boxers or something to like go home in. And he was like, we're going to go out. We're going to go out and go shopping. I'm going to replace everything of yours that I ruined. We're going to make a whole day out of it. I was like, oh, my God, this is going to be epic. So exchange information. Sure enough, called me and was like, what's going on? What's your schedule? When can I come get you? Let's do it, whatever. So like a week later, he picked me up at my house. We rolled out, went to. I was like, I feel so weird asking for anything. This is all you. You do. Let's just spend the day together. I don't care. I just want to spend the day together. He's like, I'm going to replace everything. I'm going to take you. It's going to be like Pretty Woman. I was like, oh, my God.
Amazing.
I know. I was like, this is so fun.
This is
like,
so good.
God, thank God he threw me in the pool.
Everybody's like on the edge of their seat right now.
Oh, my God. So we went to Rodeo Drive.
What?
And oh, yeah. And well, he's got a foot fetish. So he was like,
was he driving
shoes.
His crappy car that he still
has? He has so many cars.
Okay.
No,
I always see him all the time in this really beat up car.
He's crazy. He lives right off of, like, up by Lincolnshire, yeah. like in
yeah,
that area.
Yeah, I see him. That's where my yoga studio is. So I always, oh, I, yeah, like, I see power. Him
he's
all
right up
the time. All the time.
Yes. Well, he has many cars. He's got, like, the Pussymobile, and he's got, you know, he's got, like, all the cars that he uses in movies, and then he's got his own. And but he doesn't have anything fancy. Like, he had, like, he picked me up in, like, a basic Cadillac, like, CTS or something, like a four-door sedan, like, you know. Nothing like, you know, super, super nutty or anything. And we went to Rodeo Drive and he's like, we're going to start with shoes. And he's like, I said, listen, you've got to pick them out. And he's like, I think you need some red bottom shoes. I was like, oh, my God. OK, I've never bought a pair of red bottom shoes ever.
Damn.
So we go to Barney's and we're walking on the street and people were coming out of the woodwork. Someone was trying to hand him a script.
Wow.
Like, where are they hiding? And he was getting so pissed. I mean, when I run into paparazzi or people like that, I'm very, very nice. And like at the airport, we're going to a show and it's like, I don't want to piss them off because they could make your life hell. And you're like, you know what? Just sign their thing. Let them do their thing and whatever. But he was not having it. He was like, come on, man, come on. You know, I'm with my friend. I'm like trying to have a good time. Can you like, can you get out of the way? You know, can you move, please? Like, let me be with my friend. He was pissed off that people were like invading our day together. And I love him so much. I think he was as excited to have his party, like to have this day with me as I was to have with him because he's such a huge horror fan. So we go into, I got to see if I could find it. We go into Barney's. He's like, try these. I was like, you need to pick out shoes for me. I cannot. This feels too weird. So he picked out two pairs of shoes. I ended up getting them both. And people, paparazzi was taking pictures through the window at us. I was like, oh, this is crazy.
These photos have to be somewhere, Daniel.
They have to be somewhere. I got to find them.
I'm fucking trying Google, to find them
Google
right
it.
Now. I'm trying to find them right now.
Because they came out on like TMZ or whatever.
Okay,
like,
continue with your story
there.
While I hunt.
So we became friends. Then we went to like Louis Vuitton. He like bought me. I have the bag that he got me and I cherish it and would like, I have it like in its dust bag. And it's this big white purse that he was like, I love this one. It's not even something that I would actually probably use that much, but because it's him, like, I just love it. So we became friends and then I started hanging out and he was like, have you seen this movie? Have you seen that movie? Have you seen this movie? And I was like, I haven't. He's like, oh, I've got it on film. You got to come over. So I went over to his house and we watched From Dusk Till Dawn. Because I had never seen it. You know,
what's his house like? It's so epic. Oh my God. A picture of you two. Of snuggling together is so cute.
Does he have a sombrero on?
No.
Oh.
Oh my God. You're like, he's like on your back.
Oh, that might have been karaoke.
We
did a ton of stuff
God,
together.
It's so cute.
We became really
you
good friends.
You need to post this photo.
Him. I don't even know what you're looking at. I'll post it when the episode comes out.
I'm saving that shit.
So I watched From Dusk Till Dawn with him.
Did you guys date?
Margaritas. No. He never hit on me, never came on to me, never
made
any advances.
Were you not like interested in him? Because I secretly probably have like a little crush on him. I don't know what it is about him.
I had a boyfriend at the time. I was with Kobe at the time. So Kobe was also like being a fucking pain in the ass, you know? Mm. Like I think Quentin and I stopped. Maybe he did kind of like me. I don't know because we hung out a lot and then
my
boyfriend was getting
you.
Pissed. Like Kobe was like, this is a little ridiculous. And he was more like, this makes me feel like shit. Like when this guy takes you out to like buy you stuff and I can't even like pay for Denny's.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like, well, whose fucking problem? Whose fault is that? go get a job, motherfucker. So, so we actually even had a Cinco de Mayo party together. Oh, this is another really good story. So I watched From Dusk Till Dawn with him on his couch. And then he's like, I can't believe Daniel and I are sitting on the couch watching From Dusk Till Dawn. And then we watched Halloween 4 together.
Get out!
He was like, I can't believe I'm sitting here watching Halloween 4 with you on my couch.
Oh my God, what a cutie pie. He's such a little fanboy. I love it.
We ordered dinner that night, pizza, and then that was when he had just finished writing Inglourious Basterds because the script was on his kitchen, on his island in his kitchen, and I was like, you know you spelled bastards wrong. And he was like, I did that intentionally. I was like, oh, I just thought like, oh, maybe you didn't know. I mean, I don't know. I was fucking probably drunk or whatever. But so then we had a Cinco de Mayo party together. I was like, let's do something together. And it was me, Eli. It was the same little teeny group. We did it in the back of El Compadre where there's like that little private area like in the patio or whatever. Paparazzi were in the parking lot trying to take pictures. They blocked it off for us, which was great. Then we ran into a bunch of people like that he had worked with and not like famous people, but like people at the office and stuff. And we all had a great time. And then Quentin hit it off with my best friend, Davina.
And Davina, Davina?
Yeah. And they, couldn't you see that?
Like, no, she, but oh my God, I mean, I don't know what Quentin's all about. I don't know what his energy is. I only know her.
She's down for
so
whatever.
So did they?
They hung out.
Oh my God, I love it.
And, but they left and everybody started leaving and then the bill came. And there was no one really there to pay for it except me. And like maybe two or three of my friends, my girlfriends that were like still kind of like, I didn't know people didn't leave money. I didn't know. So I ended up paying like thousands of dollars. I took, it was like me with my debit card and like my Amex had a little bit left on it. And like all my friends' debit card, like anyone that can do like run this for 200, run this for 100, run this for 300.
Oh,
see if
no.
you could run this for 500. I was mortified. What was I going to do? Call him and be like,
yeah.
hey, your people that work for you assume that you were going to pay for it and you bailed with my girlfriend and now I'm sitting here with the bill. So I was like, you know what? This is about as much as it cost him to buy me the stuff that he bought me. Right.
Okay.
So it balances out. I adore him. It's all about the stories and the experience for me. And okay, I'm going to be in debt for like 2 months.
Yeah.
I'll ask my grandma for money for my mortgage and then I'll just make it up. And
yeah.
to this day, he doesn't know that I paid the bill for that ever.
Now he does.
No, I mean, he probably listens knowing him. So anyway, so I was going to do, it wasn't Inglourious. What's the, I was going to do one of his movies, A School Marm actually. And then they ended up not using me for, anyway, I was going to do one of his other movies. It ended up not working out because it got pushed when I was doing Hatchet actually at the time.
Mm.
And, it was Django. That's what it was. It was just like a 2 day part on Django. And
fucking love that movie.
It's so good. I was going to be a school marm, whatever.
Oh my God, that'd
had
be
been
so cool.
So I didn't do it. And then my Kobe at the time was like being a pain in the ass about me hanging out with him. And again, he never made me feel uncomfortable. He never hit on me. He was like hooking up with my friend. Super cool. Like not a big deal. And Kobe's like, if you're going to go over, like, I want to go. I was like, okay. So he came with me to his house one night.
Yeah.
And they got along really well. They smoked joint together, like they were cool. And after that, he never really invited me back over to his house. So like,
No, did he fuck up shit? What did he do?
I don't know. I just think he felt like, oh, now it's going to be like Danielle and her boyfriend. Like he just wanted to hang out. And then it's like, I have this tag along, you know, and Kobe's annoying. And I don't know. He like wanted to pick his brain about directing and this person and that. And I don't think Quentin wanted to be like on. You know what I mean?
What an idiot.
So he just made it weird. So we.
God, that's the last stuff that I want to talk about when I'm like meeting new people.
You know, me too, especially him. Like, I mean, as much as I would love to talk about it with him, we spent more time talking about like my mom, his
life.
Mom.
Yeah.
His, you know, growing up, like his ambitions and kind of how my childhood was and his childhood and, you know, just things that were way more important than what so-and-so was like to work with, you know?
Yeah.
So we just sort of lost touch over the years. I mean, like once in a while he'd call me Le Petite Femme and like email me once in a while. He knew that. Well, so then I heard he was doing this movie. Right. And I was like, fuck, man, all I knew was it was about the Manson girls.
Yeah. You're like,
I
need to be in it.
I have to do this because he would say to me when I said that I had wanted to audition for Death Proof and the casting wouldn't see me because they said Quentin was not interested. And I was like, I just want to just come in for it. And it was for Jordan Ladd's role and they wouldn't bring me in. I was pissed. And this is before I knew him. This is before like we were friends. So when I was friends with him, I said to him, I wanted to, like, I would have done anything to do that movie. And he was like, oh, we couldn't cast that character. And I would have loved for you to have been in it. And
fuck.
I was so pissed because that would have been dope. Right. So,
yeah.
So I was like, okay, well next time, you know what? I'm just going to ask.
Yeah.
So this movie came up and I just shot him an email and said, hey, this is the Le Petite Femme and I hear you're doing a movie about the Manson girls and I would fucking do anything to be in it. I would kill it. I would kill it, literally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I hope you're well, sending you love, blah, blah, blah. I didn't hear back. And now they start, over the next month or two, they start posting
announcing.
Brad Pitt's in it and this one's in it and this one and Leo's in it and, you know, Margot Robbie's. And I was like, and then Al Pacino. I was like, okay, I have to email again. I have to, because I never heard back. Maybe it bounced. You know, it was from my AOL account anyway. So I ended up writing him again and didn't hear back. About a week later, I'm in Florida. I was now 5 months pregnant. I'm in Florida. And with the kids on vacation or whatever. No, that was 3 months actually. And on vacation and casting calls, my agent. They want me to come in and do a like a work session with Quentin. And I was like, fuck, I'm in Florida. Fuck. And they were like, my agent goes, but so the good news is that he wants to bring you in. The bad news is he doesn't actually want to bring you in because I told them you were pregnant. And they can't use you because it's going to be 3 weeks of time sometime within the next 6 months, but they don't have a date for the Spawn Ranch yet. So they're afraid to commit to you and make you go through all of this because who knows how, if you're going to be have the baby or be, you know, maybe they shoot a week here and then 3 weeks there and they just couldn't. And the role was Lena Dunham's role. And they were like, she's not, you know, can't pregnant. Be like super pregnant and whatever. So I was like, oh my God. So I wrote him again because I never heard from him personally between that time. I only got an email, a call from my agent because he must have got my email then called casting saying get her in. So I ended up emailing him again saying, son of a bitch. I should find the email. Like, son of a bitch of all the times for me to be fucking pregnant. And then I was like, I'll do craft service. I know I'm pregnant, but I'll do craft service.
That's me, bitch. I'm like, I'll do it. What do you want me to do?
Anything. I will literally I'll clean your toilet. So at this point, then he wrote me back and he only wrote back something like something really cute. Like, who's the man that knocked up the princess or like something like, you know, like something super cute.
Who did it? Yeah.
And I told him and, you know, I'm there, you know, get married, whatever. And I'm having a baby and everything's really great. And I've been so long since I talked to him. And then that was kind of it. And then it just kind of dissipated. And about a week or two later, casting called and said, you know what? Quentin wants her to come in. We want to see her, how big she is. So I went in, they took pictures of me and then they were like, okay, here's the sides. You're going to come in next week. We're going to try to figure out how to work this into it. And I was like, oh my God. And then a couple weeks passed, 2 weeks passed. Am I going in? Am I going in? Am I going in? A couple more weeks passed. And the scene I had to read was the scene where Dakota Fanning, where Brad Pitt knocks at the door of the screen door and Dakota Fanning's sitting watching the TV with her feet up and she's like, sees him through the screen and he wants to come in and see I forget his name right now. It was supposed to be Burt Reynolds. Then Burt Reynolds died, you know, and then they had to recast him.
So
anyway, so I was like working it. And then I ended up just not getting a call. And I started to kind of freak out. And then I was like, well, maybe he'll just offer me something. Like, wouldn't that be amazing? Because I was petrified that I'd go in and fuck up my audition in front of him, you know?
Yeah.
And sure enough, I just ended up getting, they just offered me something. He's like, we can't, this doesn't work for this. He loves you. He's going to write something for you. So you're going to work for these 3 weeks.
So which role was it for?
It was for Lena Dunham's role.
Okay.
I'm totally blanking on her name right now. Oh my God. Brain fart.
Oh,
anyway,
Gypsy.
For Gypsy.
Okay.
So
damn, you'd have been so dope as Gypsy.
But you know what? She worked the same amount of days I did. Like, she only had like 2 scenes.
Yeah.
So I came in and then he's like, I'm going to name you Angel. And, you know, I was like on my door. It's like pregnant Manson girl. Like, that was what it was until
I love it.
Until he gave me a character name. And then he wrote me like a couple lines and he wrote it on a loose leaf paper with a pencil. And he put it in my dressing room. Oh, fuck yeah, I have that with the script. With my call sheet.
Oh, I love it.
Never got a script, never saw anything until I went to the screening of the movie. And then I saw what the movie was about. And I felt like a little embarrassed almost that I had such a tiny role, you know, that I only had like 3 lines or something. And then when I saw the movie, I was really kind of blown away that he gave me that part, because all of the people that were like famous in the movie that were doing cameos, because I didn't realize mine was like a cameo. I just thought it was just a one-liner kind of thing, you know, just to hang out or whatever. But he gave everyone like 1 or 2 scenes. Like, you know, Luke Perry had 1 or 2 scenes. Like, everyone had all of the supportings other than the big, you know, the 3 leads had, even Al Pacino had like 2 scenes.
Yeah.
So I was like, fuck, I have as many scenes as these movie stars. So he loves me. I love him so much. So anyway, so that's how I ended up doing it.
Wow.
We've emailed here and there, but I've got like, you know, some crew stuff from the movie. And
oh my God, do you think he would come on the podcast?
Oh my God, I wish. I can always shoot him an email and hope that he gets it.
I mean, it's like Rob. It's like trying to like, you know, I mean, at least Rob is like, yeah, I'll do it. But
yeah, but he's like,
but then and never.
He's not really going to.
What about Sherry?
We're trying, you guys.
I know. I mean, he did say he would do it. And I do believe that he will do it. I think it's, you know, our podcast isn't like, you know, not a lot of people want to talk about sex and love, you know.
But talk about all kinds of things.
We talk about all kinds of stuff. Like, it doesn't have to be that at all. Like, this episode is not going to be that at all.
No, we haven't even talked about sex.
Yeah, so that's so cool, dude. Like, he's literally like one of the directors. It's gonna happen. He's gonna direct something of you and I as we start to get these movies out. Like, this is what's gonna happen. He's gonna like, it's gonna be a fucking bizarre, fucking cool movie. He's gonna do it. I'm manifesting
that.
I'm manifesting it, man. It's gonna happen. Mark our words.
He's strict. Like, he's so. What's crazy about him is he laughs on set while he's watching the monitor.
Oh my God! Yeah, I've worked with a director like that,
like out loud.
Yeah.
Where I was like, "Whoa! How are they gonna cut that out in sound?" They do it. They're not gonna tell him not to laugh, and he plays music in between setups.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen that before in anything. Maybe like on a lunch, like, you know, the sound cart, the guy will play like, you know, sound mixer will play like
that.
A song.
It's like a light environment. You've got to have like light environments, man. I've learned there's things that I've picked up here and there from certain directors that I want to take into, you know, myself when I direct. Yes. It's just like, just have as light of an environment as possible. And we're all just playing around, man. Like, we're playing.
I think it's just about
and
as
having
long
fun.
As you're, I think it's about knowing the material and being prepared.
Yeah.
If you are prepared, then the other things are not stressful because there's going to be shit. If you are not prepared and then things are falling apart, you are going to lose your shit. And then we're all going to pick up on it and it's going to be fucked. So as long as you're prepared with what needs to be done for the day and you got people that work with you that also know how to do their job.
Yes. Yes. That's the key. Surround yourself that everybody knows what the fuck they're doing.
Yes.
Don't get these first timers, man.
When they're not, fire them. I mean, when I did that, directed that little commercial for the escape room in Vegas, the Blair Witch escape room in Vegas, I fired the makeup artist the first 5 minutes she got there. Actually, I had the producer fire her because she was really nasty to me. Mm. Even though I was the director and she was trying to put makeup on the actor and had glitter all over her brushes. And I never told her to put makeup like that under his eyes. Like, I don't even know where she came in with that idea, but she came an hour late, first of all.
Yeah, you were
so
saying
that. Already an hour behind. And then she put fucking makeup on him that had shit that had glitter on his face. And then when I told her there's glitter all over his face, she was like, I'm going to need you to stand down. And I was like, what? She goes, I'm going to need you to stand down. And like had her hand in my face.
Had she been on sets before?
I have no fucking idea. She was
an
hour late. She had a dirty fucking makeup bag. She rolled in with an attitude and came in. And then when I tried to tell her that her brushes had stripper glitter on them, that she was nasty to me and told me to stand the fuck down. And I was like, nope, you're gone. And then even later that I walked in, I was like, she's gone. She's gone. And I should have fired her before, right when she came in being an hour late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I'm waiting for makeup to show up. Go fuck yourself. Sorry.
That's insane, man. That's insane. I don't know how people are able to do that.
When they did come in and say, you know, we're going to have to let you go, the first thing she said to the producers was, I didn't know that she was the director.
Who gives a fuck? You don't talk to anybody like that, man.
That's
right. You can't. Etiquette. Just etiquette in life, in general.
And my friend
was the actor
sitting in the chair, and he was like, didn't know what to do because he was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And I held my cool, and I was really angry. You see me when I get angry, I get
super
emotional and crazy.
I know.
I want to cry, but that's like comes after I attack somebody, you know.
Yeah.
But I do it with class, you know, get the fuck out. And she bailed, and then I made her assistant that had, you know, the head for the day, and she was awesome. So it's like, great, there you go. Now I'll work with you again. I'll never work with her.
Dude,
craziness, right?
Yeah, that's insane. It really does like shock me that people don't, you know, people are given an opportunity, especially in this industry. I've seen it a couple of times in the last two movies that I've done where I really, really enjoy the people, but they just do not put like a good foot forward. Like, you're given this opportunity to be in this industry and to not take it. Like, I don't understand.
Always somebody there to replace you.
Yeah, always. But they don't think that. It's like something in their mind. Like, no one's better than me. Mentality is like, I don't have that. I wish I had that.
No,
I mean, maybe,
no, I don't either.
Maybe,
I never
I'd walk around and I'd be a little bit more confident every day. But like, it's so crazy to me. You cannot have an attitude, and every opportunity that you are given, you've got to like grab it and take it by the fucking cojones.
And be professional. Like, this
and
is a
be
business.
Be professional while grabbing those cojones.
I think, do you think maybe it's because like it's, we're all artists, and sometimes artists don't, I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. We always talk about it. Like, when we're on indie movies and you've got these like millennials that are doing, you know, Crew, and they come in with an attitude, like when Grips and Electric, and they have you know, they're like late or they're rude or they have attitude, and it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, you never, and it's always the ones that are famous, you know, or like super big, that are the most respectful and professional. And, you know, the Tom Cruises are like, you never hear anything bad, but I guess that's why they have careers.
Yeah. It has to be. But then you do hear about these stories, this person, one person I'm thinking of in particular, who works all the time, who's nasty, who's so nasty. And I'm like, how the fuck? How? No. How do you survive? I don't understand how people are like, I just constantly want to work with you. I mean, because it's a name, because it's a money thing. It's a money game. It's like, there's two things to it.
Well, why would you want to put up with that?
I don't know, ma'am.
I mean, I don't want that to be my experience on set.
Mm-mm.
But I mean, is it the producers that are like, well, director, you've got to deal with it. Well, cast, got to deal with it, because this is how we're getting our money. And then they're the ones that they don't have to deal with that personality on set.
No, they don't. Man, I wish I had like a producer brain. Like, I would rock it.
You do. You know what?
I have a first AD brain.
Oh, God. I think that you and I, when we're directing stuff, I do not think that anybody is going to be safe. Like, I think if there's attitude, if there's unprofessionalism, if there's shit going down, they're gone.
I can't wait to direct
I'll
with you.
I'll do the firing.
No, I think you don't know, man. You don't know, man. Like, I'm
I know,
pretty.
I can tell.
Yeah.
When it comes to your work, you know, and that's like me. When it comes to my work, my career, my livelihood, like, don't fuck with
don't
me.
Don't fuck
I'll
with me.
I will shank a bitch.
Or if it comes to, like, people that I love, don't you fuck
with
anyone.
That's right.
That I like. Please.
Oh, I can't wait to do a fight scene with you.
I know. It's going to be so fun. Oh, my God. I can't wait to be nasty to you. It's going to be awesome.
Oh, yes.
This is going to be a cool battle.
And a fucking scene, you and I.
Yes. Which one will be better? Which one will be better? I can't
How
even
about
tell.
We, have makeup, we should have makeup sex
makeup
on film.
Makeup sex.
That's, so what was, both.
That's what was so good with, God, what's the movie with Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt where they fell in love?
Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My God, they're fucking like fighting each other. And then all of a sudden they just are like, fuck it. Let's fuck.
Let's do it. Let's write that into a script.
Yes. So I did get the synopsis, the breakdown of what that writer was doing for us, ladies and gentlemen. It's taking a little bit longer. But I'm going to send it to you to kind of see your ideas so I can go back to
him.
Yeah,
send it to me before I see you so I can do it on the plane.
Yes. And we can kind of figure out or guide him or kind of figure out that kind of storyline. Oh, my God.
I've been fucking yapping.
No, it's so good. I know. We only have 5 minutes.
I know. But I want to read. So I want to read something. It's so funny because I felt like shit coming into this. Our podcast today, because I'm just tired and, you know, not right. And then you always make things better, Scout. So now I feel better and like ready to, even though I fucking did most of the talking.
Yeah, no, but it's great. It's so good. I love hearing these stories, man.
You know, I think they just
I'm so
the
supportive
make
of,
me feel
of you.
So good.
Yeah, because it should. It should. These are
love
good
it.
Things that happen to you that you probably, you know, really don't talk about very much because it's very, it's like strange stories. And it's also like when we talk about it, is it us bragging or what? It's like, it's not, but it's not. It's like, I don't want to name drop. This is so cool, but this is so cool for it to happen. You know, it makes us feel like good.
But I think there's, I think with you and I, and why people maybe like to listen is, there's no jealousy or envy between us.
No.
Like, we are completely supportive of one another. So I want to hear the good things that happen to you. I want to hear about the movies you're booking. I want to hear about the stories from set, good and bad. Like, I want to hear all of that stuff because I'm your cheerleader.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really hard to find, especially
with
women and actresses, you know, because they're all fucking crazy. So it's, I mean, I get it. You know, I totally get it. But I know you I feel like when people are professional and they pay their dues and they're fucking hustlers and they show up and like, then they deserve it. Like, don't get me wrong. I will probably have attitude with someone if they like blow up really big and they start having attitude, then I'll put them in check real fast. But if you pay your dues and put in your time and you're rewarded for it, I am supportive of it. But I do feel like it has to be earned, and you have far earned it, as well as a lot of the child actors I have that same respect for.
Oh, thank you. Ditto to you, dude.
Thanks, girl.
Of course.
So this email came in, and I just thought it was just so lovely. And I love when you guys write in. And I love how you started this email, because I'm a big Howard Stern fan, as you all know. And this is how they what they say when they call in. So this email came in on Wednesday. So yesterday, actually. Mm-hmm. So he says, "Men scream on the inside." This is about men's mental health. Mm. "Hey, girls. Longtime fan, listener, first time emailer. I know several weeks ago you had mentioned Twitch and his unfortunate passing. While I don't know his reasons for the exacts of his mental state, I understand the silence that often precedes suicide. This is not to say that all men think this way, but I do, and I know others who do as well. In the time of sorrow, loss, sadness, and stress, we oftentimes scream on the inside. Mm-hmm. It's embedded into our brains that anything that would appear weak is locked away. However, that doesn't help us, as deep down the pain and emotions still exist. I can't tell you how many times I've held back thoughts of ending it all, or even just sweeping life's sad circumstances under the rug. I don't have any solutions, but I wanted to at least shed a little light on men's depression and mental health from my perspective. As a sensitive guy from an era where it was taught to toughen up, no matter what, I wrestle with my mental health. I don't want to make a novel out of this email, so I'll just say that I appreciate you both for all aspects of Talk Scary to Me. There's seemingly nothing off topic, which is both entertaining and helpful. Have a great day." So what I what I loved about this is just the, you know, I never think about, like, when people come up to us at a show and say, like, "Oh, I've learned a lot," or "You really helped me through this or through that." And I just never, there's no intention of like, I want to touch someone's heart or I want to make a difference in the world. It's just about, I don't really know how to say it. So it's surprising to me when people come back and say, like, "I appreciate this," or "I took this away from you." It fills my heart, because I'm not, that's not my goal. I'm not trying to get anything out of this. It's like, I talk about our Patreon. Like,
it's like,
know,
even
sure,
what we do for work, when people come up to 100%. Us and go, "I completely understand what,
like,
what you're saying."
It blows me away that there's, because it's just us existing and being open and maybe accessible. And but I love, that's why I love doing this show with you so much, because we get to experience this. I'm getting more out of this than I feel like I'm giving to people.
Same.
So when they tell me that they're getting something out of it, I'm like, oh my God. But look at what I'm like, this person just writing this, like, "I appreciate this, and I hear you, and this is what I think." And it's just really, it just fills me. So it, you
oh,
know,
I love that.
Makes me feel great inside, and it's not unnoticed.
I love that. And it is interesting, like, him saying, like, the just regarding, like, his email and what he was saying. I felt like that a lot, because, and I think I've talked about it, like, my brain is, like, not wired 100%, and that was kind of me in my 20s while dealing with, like, trying to find the balance and also being introduced to drugs and alcohol and all of that sort of stuff.
I mean, I've thought about suicide before.
Yeah, that was like, but that was me, like, on a, like, pretty much I was fighting it every single day.
Yeah.
And I was very silent about it because I was embarrassed about it. I was scared. Yeah. I was scared of what would happen if I talked out loud about it, what would happen to me. Like, wouldn't then people be afraid? Like, I just like, so it was easier to stay silent. No, then they would have gotten
you help, and then you would have had to face your demons, and that's really fucking scary.
And that's terrifying. And it's also terrifying to say, I'm not okay. But like it's really hard to understand that it is okay to not be okay.
I mean, listen, like, this week was the 4-year anniversary of my best friend that killed himself. And it's like, I still, he was in my dream last night. Like, I still think about, God, if he would have just fucking said something, you know, my friend Brandis too, like just said something. Maybe we could have done something. Maybe we could have gotten them help, but I don't know. And then I feel like I'm so jaded by it that now when people do talk about it, I'm like, I know how it really happens. If when you do it, you don't tell anybody. And if you're telling me, it's because you want attention. And, you know, it's such a trigger for me, and it's such an awful reaction. But it's such a source of anxiety for me and fear that it's going to happen again, because it's happened twice to me, that it's like, you know, you just think, you're like, I can't believe that happened once, but it happened twice. So I my two best friends, like, how did I not know? How did I not get the signs? Yeah. Like, how did I miss that?
People are very good at masking it. I mean, I was so good at like masking that sort of. And then that's why when Knight started to do drugs, that feeling just started to become more of like an external feeling, which is not what I was used to. I was used to dealing with it internally. So when it was coming to the surface, of I was just absolutely terrified. But if it wasn't for cocaine, I probably would have never voiced it to my family that this is what's happening. I am having these thoughts.
You were able to explain that your addictions at the time were coming from your mental health issues.
Yeah.
And then you wanted to get sober, which then forced you to have your feelings about things and not cover them up. And then your family had to know what was really going on.
Yes. It was an insane process in my life. It was absolutely insane. And then also realizing, you know, that like depression runs in my family, and I've said this before, my mother's bipolar. So like struggling with like, oh, is this something that's in my life, or blah, 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 you know, having to like be diagnosed and or whatever, or realizing, Scout, you are not bipolar. Like, stop thinking that, you know, these are the feelings because this and this. You just, you know, you suffer from depression, blah, 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 all this stuff. So it was just like a very scary thing. I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, if there's anyone out there that has felt like these feelings that we're talking about and you're silenced, if there is any ounce that you can just speak up to anyone, I would just do that. I know that there's so much fear around it, but if I hadn't, I probably wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And you want to be here. Trust me, going on the outside, like in the years and years of recovery, like you want to be here. Trust me, it gets so much better, and it's such a beautiful life.
It's worth it. You have this one life, man.
Yeah, one life, man. Let's take it.
We don't know that there are others that exist after this. So
true.
So make the best.
I hope so, man. I hope we're reborn.
Me too.
I hope so.
I want to come back as Cody.
Cody. God, he's been a pain in the butt lately. I don't know what's happening. I'm like, Cody, just like, he's just chilling right now. He's just sleeping. He's just like, what do you mean?
I love it.
My hair off. I'm cold. What do you want from me?
Well, I'll see you in a few days, everybody.
Yes.
Thanks for joining us on Tuesday. Don't forget to follow us on Patreon. If you want to see our videos, they are very entertaining. Ooh-hoo. And thank you all for all of your love and support and your stories. Keep sharing them on our email, podcast@talkscarytome.com, and our Instagram. Scout loves to get those direct messages with
those stories. Slide into our DMs,
baby.
Yeah.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye guys.